If it wasn't for the grace of God, we couldn't say that we are in faith. We wouldn't be here today. But His Spirit has drawn us to Him, and we have responded to that, and we're on a journey of faith. Amen. We walk by faith, and the grace of God is continually abounding toward us every day. And we don't want to take anything for granted. Amen. My wife and I were away with our son and his wife, Patty, and we met a lot of people, a lot of foreigners, I counted there was like 16 different countries from mainly young people that I met and gave the gospel to. But I saw a lot of people in those. There was those that knew the Lord, but then I saw a lot that weren't with the Lord. I met a lot of Muslims and Hindus and different religions. And I just came back so grateful. I'm here today grateful, amen, for the Lord and for my faith in the Lord and knowing that I am on the right way. I'm in the right way. I'm in Jesus Christ today, and I love you, Jesus, for that. Well, I want to speak to you today about the indescribable gift. What God has done for us, we cannot describe. We may not fully appreciate at this level. We may not really, you know, sometimes when we receive a gift, we don't appreciate the gift after a while, and we, you know, we may even put it away and may even forget where that gift might be. But this gift that I want to talk about, and I know that you know what I'm going to talk about, is the indescribable gift that God has given to us. And we're living in the history of man when the greatest event of all time is getting ready to take place. Jesus is coming. He is coming soon. And we're going to be seeing Him face to face. We shall see Him as He is. The Word declares that. And we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Well, Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, and he was instructing the church on sacrificial giving. And this is in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And then suddenly, at the last verse of that 2 Corinthians 9, he suddenly expresses his gratitude to God for the greatest sacrificial gift ever. And here's what he said. He said, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." His unspeakable gift. Oh, hallelujah. In getting this, I just had to stop and thank you, Jesus, for the gift. I'm so grateful that I know my destination. I'm so grateful that I have received the gift. And I'm so grateful that He's put me in your life to encourage you, amen, in your walk with God as we near the finish line. We're nearing the end of this. Paul could find no words to describe God's saving love in the glorious gift of His only begotten Son. And everything in our walk with God is in response to that love. He said, "You love me because I first loved you. And even while we were in our sins, God commended His love toward us. He extended that love and that mercy toward us when we did not deserve what God would do." Romans 6:23 says this, "For the wages of sin is death." But I like that little conjunction. "But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Do you appreciate the gift today? The gift of God of eternal life. Your mind cannot grasp eternity. I drew a little dot and a little arrow on a white piece of paper, And I said, just imagine this arrow going without end. Amen. Eternity is without end. And we're living even now in that eternal life. Jesus said, he that believes in me shall never die. You say, well, what happens? We just graduate and we go a little higher until the great resurrection morning. Thank you, Father. Well, in John chapter 4, Jesus meets a woman at the well of Jacob. And to the woman at the well who asked the question, she asked the question, how is it that you, being a Jew, would ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? Now, the Samaritans and the Jews had animosity on both sides, and they had nothing to do. But Jesus went through Samaria. He had to go through Samaria to get to this woman, and he meets this woman in the middle of the day. She comes, which that they didn't go to the well in the middle of the day, in the heat of the day. They would go early in the morning or late in the evening when it would cool off. But he meets this woman, and he knows everything about this woman. And she asks him that question, why would you ask me for a drink? And Jesus replied to this woman. He said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Living water. She had no idea who she was talking to. If only you knew. If only you knew. And I want you to grasp this. He's announcing, I am the gift of God. I am the gift of God. He said, you would ask me and I would give you the living water. You know, when you come to Jesus, it's all about life. It's all about living life. It's all about living water. He is that living water. And you know the story, how that in the conversation, he asked her to go and get her husband. She says, I have no husband. And he said, that is true. You've had five husbands, and the one that you're living with now is not your husband. And you know, this woman was astounded that he knew everything about her. And we know a revival broke out. She went to the city and she said, I have seen a man that's told me everything about myself. This must be the Messiah. The Samaritans knew that the Messiah was coming also. And the whole city was moved. And many were saved as a result of that. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus knew who he was. And he knew why the Father had sent him. And he also knew the price of the gift that would be paid. He knew it all. Jesus told Nicodemus what the price was. And I want to go to John chapter 3. And in verse 14, he says to Nicodemus, he says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up. And what he was talking about was the cross and the death that he would die on that cross. That would be the price of the gift, would be death. He had to die in order to deliver the gift. Oh, hallelujah. Well, he also told what and how it was to receive the gift. He went on to say that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, this is a very foundational truth, and this is something that we hold to. This is our foundation. We believe in the cross, and we believe, praise God, that we will not perish, but we have eternal life. I know where I'm going. One of the most important questions I ask people when I meet them, I say, I always like to ask the most important question of your life. When you die, do you know where you're going? And you know the most common answer I get? I'm going to heaven. And I ask, well, what are you basing that on? And the most common answer I get is, I'm a good person. Goodness does not get you to heaven. Only the gift and receiving the gift. We know that will get you to heaven, and that's why we must proclaim this. He went on to say, for God so loved, he so loved the world of lost sinners, that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave his only begotten Son through his love. He so loved that he was going to give the thing that was nearest and dearest to his heart. His only begotten Son would die on that cross for the sins of the world. And again, how to receive it, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you believe in Jesus today? Hallelujah. You know something? This is just not mere credence. This is really trusting in him. This is relying upon him. You know, there's people that would say, yes, I believe in Jesus. Even the devils believe in Jesus. But this is a relationship with Jesus to where you're trusting him. And where Paul said, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Paul committed everything to the Lord in total trust, in total confidence, in total reliance. It was the plan of salvation. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God, that we're here in faith today. Can you thank the Lord that you're sitting here? We have a young man that was raised in a Buddhist family, came from a foreign country, that was raised in this religion. All of his family are still in that Buddhist religion. But by the grace of God, he sits in this auditorium today. He has 4 children. Because he's received the gift, those children have eternal life. Those children are being raised. Hallelujah. Because of the gift of God. And how grateful we must be for what God has done. Thank you, Jesus. The plan of salvation had always been the cross. Always been the cross. Thank you, Jesus. The crucifixion of Christ. The Word says without the shedding of blood, there would be no remission of sins. No forgiveness of sins. Jesus, the Bible says, was the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world, who takes away the sins of the world. In the mind of God, he knew. He knew when he created his man. God is an all-knowing God. In fact, he knew you before he formed the foundation of this world. He knew you because God could know everything. Even before you were born, he knew you. And he knew those that would be his. He knew those that would reject him. It's true. It's not like, you know, God just picks and chooses who he wants, but he knows by the will of man who is going to receive him. And we thank you, Jesus, amen, but that we are with him today in faith. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. I stand before you today totally cleansed. Hallelujah. And I pray this morning, Lord, if there would be anything that would hinder the flow of your Spirit through me to speak your words of truth, Lord, I ask your forgiveness. And I know one thing, repentance is a wonderful way of life. Amen. When we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and we humble ourselves to receive that blood covering again. There are those that believe your sins, past, present, or future, have been forgiven and repentance is no longer needed. We know that that is not true. We know that that's a lie of the enemy. God calls his people to repentance. He called 5 out of the 7 churches in the book of Revelation to repentance. And we know that repentance is a wonderful gift of God. When we sin, we cannot sin without knowledge. The Holy Spirit lets us know. We know when we have sinned. And we humble ourselves when we say, God, I'm sorry I hurt you. And I ask your forgiveness. I ask you to cleanse me in that precious blood. Thank you, Jesus. Well, beginning in the garden, all the blood sacrifices, beginning in the garden, when Adam and Eve rebelled and they disobeyed God, their eyes were open, they knew they were naked, they sewed fig leaves about them, and they hid themselves. Isn't that something, trying to hide from God? And he called to them, Adam, where are you? Well, God knew where he was, and he knew what he had done because he was God, and he knew even before that they were going to do that. Years ago, there was a doctrine that came out that God did not know everything because of the free will of man. Well, I beg to differ with you on that, because, or that person on that. I know we don't believe that. He said, Esau, have I hated? Jacob, have I loved? You know why he could say that is he knew that Esau was going to despise his birthright. He was going to sell his birthright. He did not value his birthright. And it displeased God for that very reason. Well, today we thank you for our birthright, Lord. But all those sacrifices, he then slew an animal. God made skins to cover Adam and Eve. And from that point on, there was a shedding of blood. The shedding of blood. And we know that Cain and Abel, the story of Cain and Abel, and how that Cain brought the fruit of the ground. And, you know, that was his works. But then Abel and Adam and Eve must have instructed these boys. They knew about the blood sacrifice. And Abel brings the blood of the lamb and was accepted by God. But it's the shedding of the blood. Clear through the Old Testament and right down to the coming of Jesus and the announcement by John the Baptist when he said, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. He knew, hallelujah, that it was the cross. Everything was pointing to the cross. Do we value the cross today? I want to make a statement that if you do not take the cross involves you, and you believe that cross, you believe when Jesus died, he died and you died with him. When he was buried, you were buried with him. And when he arose, you arose with him. That's the power of the cross. But to receive the power of that cross and the life of the cross, always there's resurrection life when it comes to the cross. Jesus arose the third day. But until we take our cross and deny ourselves, we become an enemy to his cross. We make the cross of none effect. The cross has power only to those that believe and give themselves, amen, to the power of that cross. It talks about being an enemy of the cross. And if you want to choose your way and go your way and do your thing, you become an enemy of the cross. The cross requires one thing, that we bow and receive the gift and give ourselves every day and let that cross work in our lives. Praise God. You know, Jesus talked about the hardening of the heart. He talked about the love of many waxing cold. And that would be the condition of many believers just at the time of his appearing. We don't want a hardened heart. We don't want a cold heart. We want our hearts to burn for him. And one thing that you can know that your heart is growing cold is that the cross does not move you anymore. When you think of the cross, you need to go and read, and you need to believe what the Scripture reveals to us, what he went through to pay for this gift. You go and you keep that before you. Jesus instituted the Last Supper. At the Last Supper, we call it communion. And he said, as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show my death until I come. He wants us to remember his death until he comes. He paid a tremendous price for this gift that we have today. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. He was the very day that Jesus was living for. The very day that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and being himself God, Jesus was God made flesh. The word is very clear about that. And religions that get that confused, they don't know the truth. God himself, the one that created everything, entered the world that he created and became flesh. He had to become flesh because God is a spirit and the spirit could not die. So he took upon him the form of flesh that he could go to the cross after living a victorious life for you and I, and go to the cross and bear our sin penalty there, taking the penalty, being our substitute. I should have been there. I should have been crucified. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He would die, and he would die for the sins of the lost world. Suspended between heaven and earth is God and man, totally divine, totally human, hanging on a cross. Hallelujah. Paying that penalty. Jesus knew. He said, "Then said I," in Hebrews 10:7, "Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will." The prophets had prophesied. They had prophesied hundreds of years before the coming of the King and the Messiah. His birth, his ministry, his death, his burial, his resurrection. And today is what the church in general will call Palm Sunday, as we recognize next Sunday as Resurrection Sunday. Palm Sunday was the day, or the day of the triumphant entry, we call it, into Jerusalem. And Zechariah, he prophesied this over 500 years before the event happened. Listen in Zechariah 9:9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon a donkey, and upon a colt, the foal of a donkey." Wow. That was over 500 years before the event would take place. And I want to go to Matthew chapter 21 now, and I wanted to just read again from the scriptures that event that happened that day. In Matthew chapter 21, I want to begin reading in verse 1. "And when they drew near unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethpage, unto the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find a donkey and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, you shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. And this was all done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion," just read it to you out of Zechariah, "Behold, the king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon a donkey, and the colt of a foal of a donkey. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded, and brought the donkey and the colt, and put their clothes, and they set him thereon." I want you to see, it said he's coming meekly. Here is the king. Here is not only the king of Israel, but the king of all. Hallelujah. The king of all. Eternal king of glory. Riding, humbling himself. You know, kings of that day rode in chariots, pulled with fine horses. But here he comes sitting on a donkey. Jesus humbled himself. You know, the word says that he was equal with God. He was God. And yet it wasn't something that he grasped. He humbled himself and became obedient, even to the obedience of the cross. Listen, verse 8, "And there was a great multitude that spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Thank you, Jesus. "And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." When he really was their king. Hallelujah. Well, within the week, Scripture bears this out, that there was a change. there was going to be a change from this Hosanna and blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. The cry, as Sheila said this morning, was going to change to crucify him. Crucify him. Within 1 week, this hatred toward him was so stirred that the jeering crowd shouted, crucify him. Jesus, along with many of the Old Testament prophets, told his disciples in Matthew chapter 16, 21, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and he must suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Jesus knew his destiny. He knew that he had to go to the cross. Thank you, Jesus. I want to go to Luke, and I want to read to you in Luke chapter 23, beginning in verse 13. I want to refresh your memory again. When Pilate, in Luke 23, verse 13, when Pilate had called together the chief priest and the rulers and the people, he said unto them, you have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I have examined him before you and have found no fault in this man touching those things whereof you accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent him to Herod. And lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him, for of necessity he must release one of them at the feast. And they cried out all at once, saying, away with this man, release unto us Barabbas. Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, crucify him. Crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, why? What evil has he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were instant with loud voices requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him for sedition and murder that was cast into prison, Barabbas, whom they had desired. But he delivered Jesus to their will. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people, of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in which they shall say, blessed are the barren, and the wombs which that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. And then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. And if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? Verse 32, and there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself. If he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, if thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And his superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive the reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, and I thank you, Jesus, for your grace. He said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Pretty simple. And Jesus said unto him, verily, I say unto thee, today you shall be with me in paradise. One day we'll meet that thief. Amen. He received the gift. Thank you, Jesus. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil in the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he gave up the ghost. He died. Thank you, Jesus. That was my penalty. I should have died. That was your penalty. He tasted death for all men. Thank you, Jesus. Again, your mind can't grasp this. With our heart, we believe it. Thank you, Jesus. But through what Jesus did on that cross, we'll be together 1 million years from now. 10 million years from now. You can't even measure it. For the angel of God one day will place his foot upon the land and the sea, and he will declare with a loud voice that time will be no more. And all because of the gift, we're going to be together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. This was a planned event by God himself because of his love. You see, God could not have loved us more and demonstrate that love more than that day that Jesus died on the cross. People ask the most common question is, how are you doing? And I don't want it to just be a cliche. But I try to say, I'm fine, thanks to Calvary. I'm fine, thanks to Calvary. And if they look at you with a blank, you can ask, do you know about Calvary? And if they say no, then you can tell them. It's where Jesus died for the sins of the world, for your sins and mine. My sins are under the blood. Are your sins under the blood? All you have to do is receive the gift. That's astounding. Wow. Sinful man deserved death. That's what we deserved. God's holiness demanded justice. God's love demanded mercy. Aren't you glad for mercy? At the cross, Jesus paid the unspeakable price to redeem us. Oh, hallelujah. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 85, surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him. Then he said, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. This is in Jesus. We have these little cards made. What are you worth? I'll tell you what, this little card has gone from the number that I put down in the countries that I listed in the 16 different countries. One young Italian man had to have his cell phone because he couldn't speak English, and he translated it on the cell phone, amazingly a smartphone. And he said, thank you for reminding me. He said, we are not worthy. He said, I too love him. What are you worth? And you turn it over, you are worth the price I paid. Every sorrow, all the pain, and I'd do it all again the same way. Because you're worth my life that I gave. You're worth the price I paid. That's a personal message from someone that loves you very much. Hallelujah. He loves us. All the world's wealth, I tell people, could not buy what you're worth. A lot of times people don't have any self-worth. There are people that are so down on themselves and they just have no worth at all because of their life, maybe, and the choices they've made and the things that have happened in their lives. But I want you to know God doesn't throw away junk. He knows how to make lemonade out of lemons. He knows how to restore, amen, ashes to beauty. He's a powerful, redeeming, saving God. We love you, Jesus. In closing, I want to read out of Peter. In closing this message, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, all the world's silver and all the world's gold could not buy the gift. Hallelujah. Not for sale. Hallelujah. It was a free gift. And all we had to do is humbly receive it and thank Him. Thank you, Jesus. He said, you were redeemed not with the silver and gold from your vain lifestyle received by the tradition of your fathers, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Jesus came for you. He came for you. He had a plan for your life. Through the blood that was shed, He would purchase you. He would purchase your body. He would purchase your spirit. They belong to God. He would make you His temple. He would live in you. You would be His dwelling place. He doesn't dwell in temples made with hands, but He dwells in you today. Amen. Because He was manifest for you. You who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower thereof falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. Thank you, Jesus. Shall we praise Him? Shall we thank Him for the cross? Shall we just offer our praise to Him? Thank you, Jesus. Keep me near the cross, Lord. Keep me near the cross. I've asked Bart to play a song, and I just want you to close your eyes and listen to this song, if he can cue that in. Hallelujah. We love you for the cross, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Praise you. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Let me get it, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Gonna work for you? Huh? Thank you, Lord. Just want you to let your mind go back to the cross and think about it, that He did that personally for you. He has engraven you on His hands, those scars that are in His hands. He knows you by name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We love you, Jesus. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God, for your truth. Praise you that you love us, Lord. Thank you, Father. Praise you, God. We appreciate you, Lord. Appreciate your love, your mercies, all of your goodness, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We give you praise, Lord. We give you praise. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Think it's going to work? Okay, we just skip that. Amen. Thank you, Father. Praise God. A lot of songs have been written about the cross. And the blood that flowed down that day was God's blood. And I believe today with all of my heart that there is a fountain filled with blood. And every sinner, even right now, somewhere, someplace, someone's receiving the gift. And that blood is cleansing them and their sin as they cry out to the Lord. Every day, somewhere, it's snowing. Amen. The grace of God is flowing from that day in history on that place called Mount Calvary where Jesus died. Amen. Stand up with me. Thank you, Lord. I want to thank you again, Father, for the truth of your word. For it is by your word, Lord, that we have been born again in believing the record that you've gave of your Son. That you sent him into this world for the purpose of our redemption. And everything that he went through was because of your love. For God, you are the lover of our soul. And we thank you today that the blood of the covenant is with us. The blood of the covenant is with every believer. And we thank you for the blood.